morning. What a great joy it is to look out and see your smiling faces and to welcome each and every one of you as we come together as God's people to worship and celebrate the good news of Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear these words that come to us this morning from the 12th chapter of John's Gospel, beginning with verse 20. Now among those who went up to worship at the festival, there were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." May we wish to see Jesus every single day. Let us continue to unite our hearts and spirits together.
Please stand for the call to worship. God is here to wash away all defilement. Cry out with the psalmist.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me.
Christ is here to lead us back to the ways of life. Call out your petition. The Spirit is here to renew and revive our souls. Reach for God with all your strength.
Restore to me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit.
Please remain standing and join in the hymn of praise, number 292, What Wondrous Love Is This?
I will sing. am James, the son of Zebedee. I remember the Garden of Gethsemane. Christ said, come with me and pray. And we did. Peter, James, and John, Thaddeus, Andrew, and Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Simon the Zealot, Thaddeus, and me. Only one of the 12 of us was missing, Judas. Judas Iscariot. I remember that there in the growing darkness, beneath gnarled olive trees, Christ knelt and poured out his heart to his Father. If it is your will, Father, please take this cup from me. And we slept. Jesus continued to pray, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, then your will be done. And we slept. He prayed, not my will, but your will, O God. And we still slept. He said to us, for the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. My soul aches with sorrow. We said, Lord, we are here with you. He asked us, stay with me a while. And we answered, Lord, you know we will. I think he was irritated with us. He said, can you not stay awake long enough to keep watch with me? We started to protest, but Lord, until he said, behold, the hour is at hand. Here's my betrayer now. Lord, we acknowledge the times that we have failed you, just as the disciples so long ago in the garden. As the flames are taken away from these candles, so remove our sins from us. Remember your pain as we snuff out yet one more of your candlelight.
You may remain seated for the opening prayer. God of renewal, neither troubled soul nor threat of death could stop your Son from living with passion and purpose. Teach us to reach for more. In the teachings of our brother Jesus, we behold your glory and learn to face death and the unknown unafraid. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Help us bear the fruit of our life, that you may be glorified and all people may come to know your ways. Amen. Okay, today's responsive reading is on page 785 of your red hymnal, Psalm 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done that which is evil in your sight, so that you are justified in your sentence and blameless in your judgment. Behold, you desire truth in the inward being. Therefore, teach me wisdom in my secret heart. Shall be clean. Wash me. I shall be white as snow. Make me hear your joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. The sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take your spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and sustain in me a willing spirit. Deliver me from death, O God, God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your deliverance.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise.
For you have no delight in sacrifice. Were I to give you a burnt offering, you would not be pleased.
The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit,
A broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise.
Good morning. We offer a warm welcome to everybody here today. The red registry pads are in the center of the pews. Please sign in on the red registry pads and pass it along to the person beside you. If there's somebody here that's a guest, please welcome them to our church and welcome them to our service today. If there's somebody that's typically here that's not here today that you think would appreciate a call, please give them a call and let them know that they were missed today. There should be prayer cards in your red registry pads. If you have a prayer request, please take that card out of the registry pad, put your prayer request on it, and make sure it gets put on the clear plastic holders on the end of the pews. That way they can be brought up to the front, and the pastor will announce those during the prayer time. Okay, we have quite a few other important messages to get through to you today. The first is that the rose on the altar is in honor of the birth of Logan, who was born March 15th. He is the son of Rocky and Barbara and the grandparents of Tim and Lori. The rose is right over there. Today is the Spud Bar. As you walked in, you probably smelled it. Please, please join us downstairs, or you may take a spud for takeout after church. A portion of the proceeds will be sent to Kurt to assist in his work in Vietnam. The Easter baskets. Remember, next week is the deadline to get your items for the Easter baskets. There's a sign up out in the narthex. I don't know if everything has been filled in on that. If not, please fill it in and bring it back next Sunday. Next weekend is the 5th annual Race for Grace. Our church is a sponsor of that. You'll be seeing, if you're a participant, you'll be seeing a notice inside your packet. And also on the back of the shirts, it'll say First United Methodist Church, because we were a sponsor for that. If you'd also like to participate, please participate in that. Name tags, continue to wear them through Easter so that as we get people that are guests, they'll know who you are and be able to put a name to a face. There are cards out in our narthex. They are for military personnel. They always like to hear a message from home and see who cares about them. So please sign those cards. They know you care about them. And there's a lot of people here praying for them. Okay, we also have an announcement from Jean. She wants to talk about the egg hunt next week, which is open to everybody in the church of all ages.
Good morning. As Steve said, I'd like to invite all of you to the egg hunt next week, and the emphasis on all of you. It doesn't matter what age you are. We have a ton of kids that usually come to the egg hunt, but we also need help from the teenagers, and we usually have 20, 25 teenagers, so we really need them to help, and a lot of adults come to it, too. The reason that we do the egg hunt is that it's not just an egg hunt. We do the greatest story ever told. We talk about what I consider the best story in the Bible, and that's God's love for each one of us. So we go from Palm Sunday, and we tell the story and go the whole way through Easter up to Pentecost. And much like the Jewish people at Passover talk about the time that they were captive in Egypt and how God helped them, we talk about our history and why we are Christians. So we do a very brief story. And then we also give a heads up to the kids about a lot of the symbols that are out there so that they can be on a lookout. That's why we do it on Palm Sunday, for a lot of the things that they, symbols that they see in our church and out in the community. And then at that point, everything goes crazy. We have the teenagers take the bags of treats downstairs. There are like 2,000 items, I have to tell you. And the teens have about 5 or 10 minutes to hide everything in the gym. And we keep the younger kids upstairs and talk a little bit longer about that story. And then we let them go. And they go and they have to find one of each. So it's like a scavenger hunt. They just don't go hog wild getting everything. They have to find one of each item. So each child or each person gets like 23 different items that actually relate to the Holy Week story. So they will get fish, which is the sign of the fish, Swedish fish. They'll get chocolate, praying hands, a chocolate lamb that's the Jesus is the Lamb of God, bubblegum coins that are like Judas's coins. So they'll get all these symbols, and then the teenagers, all of their goods are out on the table, so they get the same thing too. So you're all invited. We'd love to have you come. There's big chairs in the back for teenagers and big people, so we hope to see you next week.
Just so that you know, I think that's at 9:30. That's during the normal Sunday school time, so it's down at 9:30. And it will be down in the elementary department is where it'll start at 9:30, which is one level down from this level, which is where all the elementary school students meet. And that's where they will have the story of the whole Holy Weeks and all the symbols. And that's where they'll tell all the stories. So it'll be in the elementary department at 9:30 in the morning is when it'll start next Sunday. Now Diane has an announcement.
Last week I challenged each of you to actually reach a stranger with one of our pocket poster cards. Remember, there are purple ones out there that are for their Living Last Supper, and there are also other ones that say, celebrate Easter with us. So I hope that you will take several and make use of them. Don't just keep them in your pocket or keep them in your purse. Actually pass them out so we have a really, really full church here for all of those events. And now, in honor of the first Sunday of spring, I'd like to quote that great poet laureate from Laugh-In, Artie Johnson. Spring has sprung, the grass is riz, I wonder where the posies is. So, on the Sunday after Easter, we're celebrating Holy Humor Sunday. And we ask that you take part in that, each one of you. I want you to put your thinking caps on. I guess you could wear those. But we're going to have Holy Humor Headgear Day. Now, it can be a full hat. It can be just a headband. It can be just flowers. It can be whatever your imagination calls for. It's a time for us to be childlike, not necessarily childish, but childlike. So put your thinking caps on, and I want to see a lot of interesting headgear on the Sunday after Easter. And you know what? Bring your friends, too, because we can have fun in church. Thank you.
I don't know. She's starting to scare me. Yes? Your song? Do you have a good hat? She said, okay, you got a good hat to wear. I got to find one. If you look in your worship folders this morning, you will see an insert. Today is not only the fifth Sunday of Lent, but it is also the Sunday of hope. Daffodil Sunday around our communities. As we remember those individuals who have had their lives touched with that dreaded disease of cancer. Following the worship service, a couple of the choir members are going to carry the two vases of daffodils that are on the communion table out. If you have been touched by cancer or cancer has touched your life in some way, we invite you to take one of these daffodils home with you that you might remember those individuals and to remember to continue to pray for those even this day that are still dealing and struggling with that disease. Today there is a prayer that is printed on this bulletin insert, and so let's unite our hearts and our spirits. Listen and hear these words for us this day. Almighty and loving God, We remember that your will for each of us is health and peace, shalom, fullness of each life, and wholeness of life. We know that illness of every sort challenges your plan and therefore must challenge us. We thank you for those in sickness who rise to the challenge by bravely fighting on and who continue to live and grow and love and serve in spite of the pain and suffering. We thank you for all who minister to and with cancer patients, for those who are instruments of your healing grace, the doctors, nurses, technicians, those involved in research and experimentation, and rabbis, priests, pastors, family and friends who are there with those who suffer, all channels of your healing love. And finally, we thank you for institutions and organizations that provide care, whose purpose is to challenge all that corrupts and destroys the creatures of God. We thank you for the great work of the American Cancer Society and ask for your special blessings, dear God, on all its healing work. Guide and empower their leaders. Strengthen and give good success to its workers. And grant that all may know that it is your healing work that they do, and that one day you will wipe away every tear from our eyes, and that there will be no more pain, for the former things will have passed away. This prayer, O God, we ask in your powerful name of love. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you. Please pass the peace of Christ to your neighbor.
Come on. Wow. How is everyone today? Can I sit down here with you? What's that? Everybody have a good week? Want to sit down? There you go. You're wearing black and gold today. Anybody play outside yesterday? Anybody picking flowers? Anybody plant anything yet? What'd you plant?
Sunflowers.
Sunflowers. Inside or outside?
In a little cup.
In a little cup. You're going to plant a garden. Cool. I like gardens. Tomatoes, no. Asparagus, beets, no. Spinach, no. Garlic.
Strawberries.
Mmm. Can't eat from them, though, for a couple years. Yeah. Well, you know, Jesus in the scripture this morning in John's gospel talks about a seed being put in the ground. Now, when you do that, you don't just plant it and walk away necessarily, do you? What do you have to do after you put it in the ground?
Water it.
Water it.
And give it sun.
And give it sun.
You have to give it shelter because of it.
Well, shelter. Oh, there you are. You found us.
Yeah. We're in the bathroom.
You were in the bathroom. Well, that's a necessary place to be. Come on in here and have a seat.
That's all right. At the early service, I learned that an 8-year-old got a kiss right on the lips. His parents went under the pew.
I pull out my pants, I go in and I wait for time. I need to poop. I didn't go pee.
I'm getting all the details, in case you wondered.
Good boy. Give me 5. Did you wash your hands?
No.
Yeah? Give me 5. All right.
I didn't need to pee.
Oh, okay. You did one, not the other.
No.
Yeah. Do you feel better? Okay. That would mean the one thing we didn't talk about is when we plant. Okay, when we plant the seeds, we need to fertilize them. Yes, that's important, because those seeds need to eat. We give ourselves food every day, right? Food and water. And so when we plant seeds, they need food, water, and fertilizer and sunshine. You eat them? Aren't they yummy? Salt on them and they were roasted and cooked? Yes, they're wonderful. Okay. So Jesus says, when we plant those seeds, we need to take care of them. And so when Jesus plants the seed of his love in our hearts and in the hearts of other people, we need to care for them as well. Because sometimes bad things happen. But we know that Jesus wants all those good things to happen in our lives. Yep. That's wonderful. Okay, well, we're going to listen to Josh now. Josh has a special thing to tell us about summer camp. Anybody ever go to camp? Yeah, church camp? No, no one's ever been to church camp.
No, one time I went to camp.
Well, I've been to church. Here, have a seat so everybody can see. I've been to church camp before. I've been to Wesley Woods as a counselor and a dean, to Allegheny as a counselor, and Wesley or Jamonville. I've been to Jamonville as a counselor, as a dean, and guess what else? And when I was at camp working all summer, guess who I met? I did not meet Josh. That lady up there, that's my wife. We met at camp and worked together. But we were friends. We didn't date then. We didn't like each other then. Just buddies. Yeah. You only get a boyfriend when you're in college. That is good advice from your mother, and I will help her with that. And my daughter missed that. That's a good saying. No boyfriends or girlfriends until college. Okay, Josh.
Who here has actually gone to either Camp Allegheny, Jamonville, or Wesley Woods?
Oh.
I've never been to Wesley Woods, so maybe you can do something about Wesley Woods. But it's a really good experience. I have so many memories and stories about camp that if I were to even start, I would be here for a couple days. I went to Camp Allegheny for horse camp. They have pony camp. They have a lot of other things. They have swimming and all that. Camp Jamonville, they have more adventurous stuff. Like they have senior high challenge camp. They have rock climbing camps that you can go rock climbing, camps that you can go. They have something called pedal paddle. You're on a bike, and you basically go to Ohio Pile a lot, which is a really nice state park. They have whitewater rafting. They have bum slides, natural carved water slides made of rock, which you think would sound really rough and hurt, but it really doesn't. It's actually pretty fun. The water's a little bit chilly, but pretty good. They have a bike trail up there that's pretty nice, too. Basically, it helped me make a lot of friends. It helped my connection with God. They have basically anything that you could be interested in. They have sports camps. They have an extreme sports camp. Most of the camps go from Sunday until Saturday. But if that seems too long, then there's a couple camps that go from Sunday to Wednesday. If you don't want to be alone, there's a couple that you can go with your parents. There's Mom and Me, Dad and Me, Grandpa, or grandma. I forget which one it is. Grandpa. There might be, yeah, probably grandparents too. It's basically just a really nice experience. Really, you can get away from everything, meet new friends. And up in Jamonville, they have one of the largest crosses up on the top of the hill. Every once in a while, you'll go up there, and you can look down from the mountain. They cleared out some of the trees, and you can just see for miles. It's absolutely wonderful. It's really beautiful up there. One thing, of course, camps cost. The only downside. But they don't, the church and the district and the camps do not want cost to be a reason that children cannot go. So if there's financial problems or anything like that, you can talk to the office, talk to people in the district, and they'll get you more information about financial aid. They have some grants. The churches or the camps have something called campership. And actually, if you don't, a couple camps will do this. If you donate a little bit of money, if you meet their goal, the counselors give you a little bet. One of my camps, one of my bets was we get to dye the dean's hair. You're safe.
Hey, shave my head.
But that was just one of the cool things. Like I said, there's so many different opportunities. Just go through the brochure, which are by the office on the half door. Well, they should be or will be. Take what you... Just pick what you would like to go in a week that you're free.
It's a great week of campfires, s'mores, hot dogs, camp songs, swimming, Bible studies. It's a blast. So if you want to go, get a brochure, have your mom and dads check it out, fill it out for you. And mom and dads, if the cost is a problem, come see me and we'll get it fixed. All right? One more thing.
The brochures say turn into the camp center, but actually turn them into the office so that they can go through the church, through the financial aid of the church.
Yes. All right. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Lord God, for these boys and girls, we are grateful. We pray that your seed of love might continue to root and grow within them, for we know that they are the church. Bless their moms and dads, their caregivers. Bless them as they live and grow for you. For we pray in Jesus Christ's holy and precious name. Amen. Hey, we got some bulletins for you this morning and some cups. Remember, we are continuing to collect. The collection this month is going to the Race for Grace. We've got three aisles and lots of you today, so you can hit all three aisles. Come now to the time in our service when we want to lift up our joys and concerns for individuals and situations among us. You'll see in our worship folder this morning that we express our sympathy to the family and friends of Robert, who passed away Thursday, March 22nd, very unexpectedly. He is the son of Chloabel and the brother of Suzanne. His services will be private this coming Saturday morning. Also, prayers for a co-worker and his family. Hospice has been called in as he comes to the end of his life and his battle with cancer. So we will want to continue to remember that situation and family as well. If you look on the back of our worship folders, you will see the list of individuals that are currently on our prayer list, and would ask that you would continue to be in covenant to pray with each and every one of them. Let us continue now, uniting our hearts and spirits as we go to God in prayer. Our gracious and loving God, we are thankful for the blessings of a new day, for the opportunities to serve you, for the privilege of being a part of your kingdom, of being a part of your church, the privilege of being a part of that that you desire to change, to transform, to bless, and to make new. Oh God, we are grateful and indebted to you for the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A good news that has changed the world more than any other news. Lord God, we pray that our lives might experience and share this joy with the world. You call us to be engaged in daily life and living, that Christ might radiate forth from within each and every one of us, and that his good news might be lived out. And so we come to you this day as your people, as your children, those who are united together in heart, mind, and spirit, in mission and ministry, for a oneness to seek to offer Christ to the world. Oh God, you call us to be a people that pray. And so we come this day lifting up joys and concerns, hurts and needs to you. For the family that's been lifted up today, as life is in tension with life, and that time of transition to move from this physical life over into that glorious spiritual life. You know the names of individuals on our prayer list. You know the names and situations upon our hearts. Oh God, you know the hurts and the needs around the world. We could be here for hours, but you already know the needs of your people, the situations, those things that are placed upon our hearts, we give them to you. We also ask, O God, that you might use us, that we might be used as your instruments to bring your healing power and presence to the world. We pray for the needs of the United Methodist Church. We pray for our coming general conference, for our annual conference, jurisdictional conference. We pray that your Spirit might lead and guide and direct, and that wonderful joys might come out of these gatherings. We pray for the bishop and the cabinet, even now as they are making changes and transitions in the lives of churches and pastors. We pray for all of your churches around the world and for the good news that will be shared today and this week. We pray for leaders everywhere. For we pray for that moment in time when heads and hearts and spirits would bow at your holy, precious, and awesome name. Lord God, we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, as we now unite our hearts and our voices in a prayer that Christ has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Will the ushers please come forward for the presentation of God's tithes and our offerings? Thank you.
Eternal God, our hope in all things, you promised the Israelites a new covenant, not written on stone, but written on human hearts. And you faithfully delivered this covenant through our Son, Jesus Christ. What we give today, we give with joyful hearts, knowing that in Christ and his sacrifice, our inequity has been forgiven and our sins forgotten. We can go on now here as a redeemed people, renewed in our covenant, to give all we have and all we are for the coming of your kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. In the holy name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. Hear now these words that come to us from the New Testament book Hebrews, from the 5th chapter, beginning with verse 5. So also Christ did not glorify himself in becoming a high priest, but was appointed by the one who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." As he says also in another place, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to the one who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him, having been designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. May God's richest blessings be upon the reading and the hearing of these holy words for us this day. For they are the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, for this day we give you thanks for scriptures and their claim upon our lives. We are forever grateful. And now, O God, in these moments that we share together, we would ask and pray that you would comfort us from the activities of daily life and living, those things past, present, and yet to come that seem to call our names. O God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, may they be pleasing and acceptable, O God, to you, our rock and our redeemer. For we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. You know, this is one of those odd weeks, it seems, that it's not a celebrative Sunday. It's the fifth Sunday of Lent. And next week we get to shift a little more celebrative on Palm Sunday. So I want you to know that I'm well aware that the songs are kind of dirgy this morning and the sermon is dealing with suffering and death. And I'm aware of that. And indeed, as I look out and see some of you and know what we have been through, I'm well aware that it's not necessarily a fun day. The letter to the Hebrews, or more appropriately, the sermon that is called the letter, shares with the first three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, a strong emphasis on the humanness of Jesus Christ. Of all the New Testament books outside of the Gospels, Hebrews is probably the one that shares the humanness of Jesus Christ. Early on in the letter, it's actually the second chapter, verse 9, we read these words, "We do see Jesus, who for a little while was made lower than the angels, now crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by grace of God, he might taste death for everyone." Jesus made a little lower than the angels, sharing with us the tragic experience that is called the suffering death. We don't need to read very far into Hebrews to hear other words about Jesus' humanness. Even in this morning's reading, we have things like he offered up prayers with loud cries and tears and was heard for his godly fear. He learned obedience through what he suffered. And so when we hear words like cries and tears and fear and suffering, those are all human terms, human flaws or experiences as they were, the expressions of our human emotions. You see, Jesus Christ, like you and me, knew the suffering of death. It's a human experience that we all face, that human tragedy, as some would call it, death. And I don't really mean that final death, the death of our physical bodies, but those deaths that we experience each and every day within our lives. Perhaps, after all, the easiest death is that death of the physical body after all. Oh, it may be an irritating cliche to say at the coffin of someone who has gone, "Oh, he or she looks so peaceful. They look so good." Leanna has said to me, "Shut the lid. I don't want anyone standing over me saying, 'Wow, she really looks good.'" It may be true that death brings with it that healing to where that individual no longer struggles. They are at peace and at rest. But it's the dying process at that last moment that's the difficult thing. That's the part of the human experience that we struggle with. Walter Weingren, a writer, has written a collection of stories entitled "Many Things Can Cause Sorrow. God Alone Turns Our Mourning into Dancing." Listen to what he says. "The details change, but the cause and the sorrows are always the same. The experience is universal. No one born to human flesh is ever exempt, not one. The cause of all our sadness is death. And sadness follows. And the name of our sadness, even the weeping at weddings, is grief. When we die, we grieve. Death doesn't wait till the ends of our lives to meet us and to make an end. Instead, we die 100 times before we die. And all the little endings on the way are like a slowly growing echo to the final bang before that bang takes place. Each lesser echo, each little death has not only its own immediate sorrow, it draws horror and fear from the absoluteness of the last end, the real slamming of the door, the mortal and eternal bang. I mean, think about it. Think about the number of deaths that we experience in our lifetime. Maybe in our past there are some of those relationships of love that went sour and bad. How about those deaths or time in our marriages with you and your spouse when there's just been that moment of an impasse that is so strained that at least for a time, communication cannot occur? Or how about that death that occurs between a parent and child when there is a rift in understanding, at least for a time when communication again is not possible? Let's not make the mistake of thinking that Jesus Christ is not a part of all of this. Don't box up sweet little precious harmless Jesus, put a halo on his head, tickle him under his chin, and make him giggle and coo. That's not who Jesus is today. Look at Gethsemane. Look at the cross. Look and feel the pain that is literally in and upon his shoulders as he carries upon them the brokenness of the whole world. You see, to emphasize the humanness, the humanity of Jesus Christ, as the writer does, is to emphasize that Jesus Christ is involved in all of this death and suffering that surrounds us each and every day. What is so strange about it is that the writer of Hebrews celebrates this involvement of Jesus with us in our daily lives and living. As the writer says, Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered. Consider first what it does not mean. You see, the writer is not drawing a picture of a cruel God who beats his children into submission. It's not like God is shouting at his son, "I'll teach you to obey me by breaking your spirit. I'll make you suffer so that you will be obedient." To force a child to suffer does not teach obedience. It may teach fear, and it may control a child's behavior only while that particular parent is around. But it does not teach the kind of obedience that results in maturity and dignity and a healthy relationship. When the writer of Hebrews says he learned obedience through what he suffered, he's saying that life itself did to Jesus what it does to you and me every single day. Life does disappoint us, especially when the good are not rewarded, evil is not punished as we believe it should be. It harms us with injustice and cruelty. Life and the world would seek to make us unfeeling, because though life and the world themselves are neither good nor evil, life and the world seem to be indifferent to human suffering. In other words, those famines and earthquakes, tidal waves, fires, car accidents, random acts of violence, and all of the other tragedies that claim the lives of innocent children as well as innocent adults around us are going to occur. Life and the world are indifferent to human suffering. You see, life and the world did to Jesus exactly what they do to you and to me. And so when the writer says Jesus learned obedience through what he suffered, he says that Jesus learned not to place his trust and allegiance and his devotion in the world or the things of this life. In the end, and usually long before the end, the world and the things of this life will fail us. To learn obedience through what we suffer is to learn that God and God alone can redeem us from death. It means that we do experience death. That's a part of our reality. That's a part of our human condition. God's work, or God does not work it so that we can avoid or deny death. But rather, God works it so that when we fall into those dark valleys that we must walk through, that God meets us and greets us there to offer us redemption. Human weakness, the sins of humanity, loud cries and tears, godly fear, obedience learned through suffering, the human experience, the human condition, the human expressions of emotions. Yet what's more mysterious than all of this, more mysterious than the human tragedies that surround us, is our connection to our suffering and to our redemption. Death that is all around us is real, and death indeed makes us grieve. But wonder of all wonders, grief is that balm that cures our very souls and spirits. Listen one more time to what Walter Wangren says. He says, consider how often grief overtakes us and bewilders us precisely because we don't understand either the sadness or the source. Don't even know its name. It's always better to know its name. Infinitely better to understand the process that shall continue to involve us, or else we, like children, resist and fight as if against an enemy. In fact, grief is not an enemy. It hurts, to be sure. But it is the hurt of healing. Grief is the grace of God within us, the natural process of recovery for those who have suffered death, exactly as the slash in my arm with scabs and pain and itching healed. Grief is the kind of knitting together of wounded souls, the conjoining again of brokenness. You see, my friends, grief is finally what comes through obedience. Obedience to the understanding that God and God alone is the one that offers us salvation from death, from all of those terrible deaths that precede our last breath. Just as Jesus Christ learned obedience to the redeeming power of Almighty God through that human suffering, so may we learn that in our own suffering, that God alone is the one who is there to comfort, to save us, to be that healing balm. Let us pray. Our gracious and loving God, as we continue this journey of Lent, a time of remembering who we are and our need for you, we experience deaths every day. They surround us. But we know that Sunday is coming and that there will be joy and celebration. But in these days, these valleys, you, O God, walk with us. And so we pray that our hearts and minds and spirits might be tuned with you, the one who goes before, alongside, and behind us all. For it's in Christ that we pray. Amen. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn together, number 672, God Be With You Till We Meet Again. Gracious and loving God, may your Spirit rest upon us, healing us from our hurts, from our deaths, in our needs, sending us forth into the world as we go with you to offer your healing presence to the world. Guide us, direct us, O God, for for we go into the world in the name of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.